Now, Forest Hills, that's is that adjacent to the Trans Mountain Tank Farm?
Yes, it is.
So what was that like living next to the tank farm?
Well, you know, we had those, you know, the warning, the pipeline warning markers and everything along Arden and along the backs of our properties, like the easements and everything, and over by the golf course. Didn't really think about it until all this, you know, in recent times now, all the Kinder Morgan stuff has got stirred up and people talking about living on a pipeline and all the, you know, the safety aspects of living. And we never, and like there were times when we were inundated with odors from the tank farm, that rotten egg odor, and we would just close our windows and doors and it would disappear after a few hours and we'd carry on. We never ever, there was never any real discussion about that, that it was a safety issue. And they would have open houses up there and the neighbor would go in, they'd give us juice and hot dogs and we'd have tours of the facility just to kind of, and all the, you know, important guys would be there and they'd answer questions if you had them. And they had lots of little demos and little information areas and little sort of scavenger hunts for the kids and stuff. There was lots of stuff. They would just open up the tank farm. Now it's under huge security. They don't do that, as far as I know. I have not seen any information about an open house because it's too risky. You can't even stop and take a picture now of the tank farm. So for us, when we were living there, it was there. It was like the golf course was on one side, the tank farm was on the other side, and the conservation area stretched out beyond the school and everything. We never really worried about it.
Did you feel that they were a good neighbor then? In some ways?
At that time, I didn't have a huge problem because they were always, they would send us newsletters and they would, like as I said, they would have these open houses, I think annually. And they even had like a helicopter, you could go on a helicopter ride. Like there was all kinds of stuff going on and you just never, ever concerned yourself. And now there's huge concern. And I mean, even living on top of this mountain, I get concerned because of the access. You can't get off this mountain. There's one road. And it's it can be, unless you dive off the back cliff here and go down the trail in the back here. But it's, it is worrisome because there's so much more awareness now. I mean, we weren't dealing in the 80s. We didn't access stuff on the internet or, you know, have a lot of social media talk. Like, we talked as neighbors. We had a couple of coffee groups in the neighborhood, and we would get together and talk about things that we wanted to change or improve or do. And I never recall the tank farm coming up. Mm-hmm. In fact, when we had our meetings on the urban trail, we needed a meeting place. They opened up their office right at Shelmont there, and they let us use their boardroom for our meetings. And, you know, this was very community-minded of them, right?
Were there other ways that they contributed to the community?
I'm not sure if they provided money for the school. I know Kinder Morgan now has grants and schools can apply for grants, but that's a very controversial, touchy subject, using Kinder Morgan money for library books and stuff like that. But I won't get into that part of it. But back then, I'm sure there was, because I've heard of like Shell Oil grants and Shell Oil, because it was called Shell Oil and then it was Trans Mountain, because our property came from, it was listed as Shell Oil as the owner of the property there. Yeah. So
I did hear that that the color of the tanks was an issue. Did that ever come up, to paint the tanks a different color?
Are they not green?
I think they must be green.
I'm sure they're green, but I'm not. The only painting I remember is like kind of a protective coating that was put on them, or that was that they did eventually put on the.
I know. I think it was actually mentioned in the Forest Grove Approach Report, because there were projects that you did. And I think one of the ones that was mentioned was painting the tanks a different color. Could you see the tanks then from where you
No, lived? There were too many trees. There I mean, trees. You had to drive over to Shelmont to see them. Good. Yeah.
So I don't know why that was an issue.
Yeah, but no.
Well, thank you. That was interesting. I also wonder, what ways did the presence of Simon Fraser University on the mountain benefit you when you lived both in Parkrest and in Forest Hills?
At the time, I don't remember ever there being too much contact with students or with the university itself. Like me personally, there might have been student involvement in the school, or there might have been like people having, renting a room or a basement suite to a student, but to me, Simon Fraser was just a university on the hill, and of course, I was a UBC girl, I didn't even really think about SFU being up here, except if you wanted to go, take a visitor for a drive, you would drive up and around and then stop at Burnaby Mountain Park, but I don't recall any direct involvement with SFU in the community. Yeah.
Did you go up there to attend events at all at SFU?
No. Now they have tons of events that, you can access all the information online, or you can get newsletters about what's happening. Back then, I know. My kids went to summer programs, like the SFU school. They have programs they run for kids in the summer, like they were running computer classes, and they had a really strong sports program, and it's a way that they could hire their own students to provide employment for them, those programs were accessed by all of Burnaby. Mm-hmm. And those programs have been going on for a number of years. Mm-hmm. So we did come up here for some of those programs. But for any events, I don't really recall. I mean, now we've got the Trottier Observatory, and they're always promoting different events up here. But back then, no,